This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. State lawmakers are back in session, and one of the issues they'll tackle is Governor John Hickenlooper's plan to improve mental health care in Colorado. That $18 million proposal is a reaction to the Aurora Theater shooting and comes on the heels of Sandy Hook. If the legislature funds the plan, the money will pay for a number of initiatives, from adding more beds for psychiatric patients to creating round-the-clock crisis centers. CPR's Elaine Grant spoke with the man responsible for making this happen. Reggie Bica is executive director of the Colorado Department of Human Services.
We'll get into the details of this new plan in a moment. But first, the lack of care for people experiencing severe psychiatric problems is a serious problem here. By your own department's account, Colorado is 48th in the nation in lack of beds for patients with psychiatric problems. Last summer, health reporter Eric Whitney told the story of a Boulder woman with bipolar disorder. She wound up in the emergency room in the midst of a manic episode. And this is her mother.
It was at that point that we learned that there was no place for her to go other than to be in that examination room, that there was not a single psychiatric bed to release her in the entire state of Colorado. So she had to stay in that emergency room, and she stayed there a full 24 hours.
Furthermore, during that entire 24-hour period, she never received any treatment. How would your plan address that?
Wow, it's a really tragic story that I had not heard before, but it's exactly what we're attempting to address with this plan. We want to identify people who might be in crisis and needing some support, get them to the right place at the right time. This plan will develop crisis stabilization centers all across Colorado so that people like the person you were describing who were having a situation where they needed to be assessed by professionals, they could voluntarily, or their loved ones could bring them into a crisis stabilization center where they could talk to someone, get a brief assessment, perhaps get support on an outpatient basis. Maybe they could stay at the crisis stabilization center for a day or two, or they could be assessed and determined this person actually does need to be in a psychiatric hospital and make those arrangements to get them into a hospital.
So you're proposing five of these crisis stabilization centers, essentially 24-hour centers where I could go if I'm having a problem at 3 o'clock in the morning?
That's exactly right. Voluntary centers that will be established, we'll have them regionally across the state. People can come in voluntarily. They could also be referred from treating professionals. Perhaps a police officer's engaged someone in the community who seems to be having some struggles and needs to talk to somebody, isn't appropriate to be going to a hospital for an in-depth psychiatric assessment. But the police officer could, on a voluntary basis, bring them to these crisis stabilization centers to get the support and services that they need.
What hole does this fill? Where do people who are having these problems go right now?
Well, it fills a very big hole. In some parts of our state, there's nothing available shy of being on the streets and getting into a hospital setting. This creates a diversion opportunity that a lot of states have developed ahead of us, and it will fill that gap of being a step in between getting nothing at all, waiting a week or two or three to get into an outpatient setting, or going to a hospital.
And as we've said, going to a hospital is absolutely no guarantee of treatment, like this woman in our clip. So the 24-hour crisis center is a step, but where's the guarantee that there's someplace to go if someone does actually need a psychiatric bed?
Well, a couple of things. So first of all, let's imagine that this plan is rolled out and that we have a 24-hour hotline, which is a part of our proposal, so that the parents in this situation could call the 24-hour hotline before things got to a crisis point and find out what services or supports might be available for their daughter. Or the daughter could find out on her own if she wanted to call. Maybe the daughter could go to a crisis stabilization center and not have to be in a hospital setting in the first place, which would then free up the resources and capacity of the hospital to be available for people who really need an inpatient setting. So if we can divert people that don't need to be in a hospital, that just allows them to use their resources more effectively and efficiently. But the governor's also proposed creating new psychiatric capacity. We know that this means both a public and a private solution.
One of the other issues is that the legal system for getting mental health care is complicated. Listener Max Wachtel is a University of Denver professor. He lost a student in the Aurora shootings. In an email to us, he wrote, I am a forensic psychologist and have worked with numerous individuals who seem to pose a risk. And as a professional, I knew what to do to get them help. But the laws can be very confusing if you're not familiar with them, and I would imagine the average person would have no idea where to start. Now, your plan calls for a change in laws related to committing someone involuntarily. Under what you're envisioning, what does it look like to get help for someone who doesn't want to get help or who you fear may harm someone?
Colorado has a very high standard compared to other states to get people the involuntary supports that they need when they may be a danger to themselves or a danger to others. And too often we find in our state that professionals like the psychiatrist that you just referred to know how to get someone the assistance that they need. Imagine a situation where an individual is in your office, you're a treating professional, they're delusional, paranoid, they're afraid of everyone, and they think that they might hurt themselves or hurt somebody else. Under Colorado's existing law, you have to determine that there's imminent danger, that you as a treating professional know that they have a plan and that they have the means to carry out the plan. The proposal that the governor has put forward is to change our law to include substantial probability as criteria so a psychiatrist can say, I don't have to know all of the details about what they're going to do to carry out something to hurt somebody, but I can intervene to get them into a hospital setting and, if necessary, get them through a commitment process so that we can make sure that they're safe and that our community is safe.
So some people would strongly support that, I imagine, people who are afraid of another Aurora happening, another Sandy Hook happening. But there are people who say that could infringe on people's rights.
We absolutely must balance the civil liberties of people to live their own lives the way that they want to live them with making certain that people who are mentally ill or have a severe substance use disorder are not causing undue harm to themselves or harm to other people. We believe that Colorado's statutes are too high of a barrier for professionals to be able to get the people the services that they need. We've looked at other states across the country, and we've taken the substantial probability language as a more appropriate balance for Colorado to implement in our statutes.
The biggest question on anyone's mind following Aurora and Sandy Hook is whether strengthening the mental health system can prevent another tragedy. You're an experienced social worker. You were a social worker before you became an administrator. From your perspective, what will it take to reduce gun violence here?
Well, one of the parts of Governor Hickenlooper's behavioral health plan is for us to do a much better job at getting information about people who are under a mental health commitment and their ability to purchase weapons. Federal law requires that if someone is under a mental health commitment, they are not able to purchase a weapon. The way that our system is set up, we still use a CD-ROM and mail it into the FBI every 6 months to give them the list of people both who are on a mental health commitment as well as the list of people who've been removed from a mental health commitment. What the governor's proposed is that we should change our system and get this done in real time so that if a judge issues a mental health commitment order today, that person should be prohibited from purchasing a weapon today. But when that mental health commitment expires because a person is now stable, we ought to remove their name from that list prohibiting them from purchasing a weapon in real time as well.
The legislative session opened yesterday. What are you hearing about the chances that lawmakers will fund this plan and go along with your planned changes to the civil commitment laws?
We've already heard that there's strong bipartisan support. Both houses seem interested in this legislation. I was very pleased that we received calls from legislators almost immediately saying, please let me run this legislation. We think this is the right thing to do for Colorado.
Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Reggie Bica is executive director of the Colorado Department of Human Services. He spoke with CPR's Elaine Grant.